Podtacular, episode 331, Flag Tournament 2012 for November 11th, 2012.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm. And with me this week we have the Don Juan from the Fight Like a Girl tournament, which is happening in a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to welcome them to the show. They've been on a couple times before in the past, way back in the past, before my time. But I think this is the first time that you guys have been on while I've been doing the show. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So, give us a little bit information of what Flag is, kind of for the people that have not even heard of you before. How what Flag is, what the weekend entails, and how you kind of got your start.
All right, that's easy. Flag is it's Fight Like a Girl, and it's a Xbox Live Halo tournament, and it happens every year. It has been happening every year since 2006 in Halo 2. This year it'll be in Halo 4. And so you can participate from all over the world, wherever you are, as long as you have Xbox Live and a Gold account. We run the tournament and custom games in Halo. It's a $10 donation fee per person, so a $20 donation fee per 2v2 team. And all the proceeds go to fight the fight against breast cancer? Yeah. Continue the fight against breast cancer? We like boobs here at Flag.
Fair enough. I'm sure there's many of us here that listen to Podtech that like boobs too. So
yeah. So if you like boobs,
save and
you
the
like,
titties.
Yeah, and you want to save the boobs, and you like Halo, then you can join the tournament. But it's called Fight Like.
let's make it clear. You can also join the tournament if you don't necessarily like boobies. But
well,
I mean, come on.
You could, but you. You definitely don't want to admit that while you're in the tournament.
Right.
I'm just
pointing out to people that it's not a hard requirement.
No, not a hard requirement. But, what we do have during the tournament is there is a requirement to not trash talk. So if you're trash talking boobies and we don't like that, then you're out. No refunds.
Fair enough. I think many people can settle for that.
Yeah, but it started in 2006, like I said earlier. I was working at Safeway, which is a grocery store at the time. And they were like, at Safeway, they do these things. You probably all experienced this, where you go through the checkout line and they're like, do you want to donate $1 to whatever? And you're like, not really, because I just bought all these groceries.
Right.
And they force us to do that, by the way. It's not like we like to do that. But every store kind of competes in the area, I think. So the more money you raise as a store, the more, you get your name in a newsletter that no one reads. So they would try to do these other things. Like, for instance, they're like, Carrie, hey, could you like do a bake sale? We want to do a bake sale. And I was like, no way, no bake sale. And they're like, no, we want you to bake for our bake sale for breast cancer. And I'm like, I don't bake. They're like, well, what do you do? Is there any hobbies that you have? And I'm like, I just sit around and play Halo all day. I go home and play Halo. Like, that's all I do. And I was in a Halo 2 clan called the Cave Girls at the time. It was all female. BS Angel was in it. She was the first girl I ever played Halo with. And there was just 30 of us. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ask my Cave Girls if they'd be into, hosting a tournament and all the proceeds would go to breast cancer research. So we did it. And in 3 weeks, we raised $777. And
wow, is that ironic.
I know. Well, somebody, I think it was KP, was like, you need $5 more for this or whatever. and we had 89 participants. It was an FFA tournament. And it was awesome. So every year since then, I was only going to do it that 1 year. I mean, I was like, okay, this is it. And then, it just grew from there. We've been doing it ever since. So this is the seventh annual Fight Like a Girl tournament.
Very cool. So go through some of the events that you have done in the past and then kind of go through what we're going to see for this year.
Sure.
Since it's a new, brand new game. Just it, literally it, came out this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, yeah, hopefully no issues, but it's, so far it's looking so good. So in the past, we usually do FFA, and we've mostly done FFA and 2v2. A couple of years we did FFA, 2v2, and 4v4. And this year we are changing things up a little bit. I cut FFA, and we're just doing 2v2. And we're also doing Griffball, but Griffball is going to be run by the folks at Griffball Hub. And those guys are awesome, and they run tournaments all the time, and they know what they're doing. So we partnered with them, and basically you sign up through our site, but they run the whole tournament. And that one is on Sunday. 2v2 is on Saturday. Griffball is on Sunday. And then that's it for the really like competitive side of it, mostly because I actually, you know, had way too many prizes to send out last year, and it cost me quite a lot of money. So I had to kind of cut how many events we did because of that. And I also wanted to give a chance for some of the casual people to participate in Flag this year. And so we added a creative bundle, which isn't actually a tournament. It's more like a series of contests.
All right.
First one being Halo 4 screenshot contest. So you take your favorite screenshot in Halo 4, you go into, you know, save films, and you take your sweet screenshot, you share it to us, and all the referees will be judging it. And then there is a Halo 4 Forge challenge. And I actually just made the base map for this last night, so we'll be sharing this out. What it is the Forge, I think it's Impact. We used Impact as a base map, and there are asteroids on Impact.
Mm-hmm.
You put a Warthog on one asteroid and a Kill Ball on the other asteroid, and your challenge is to creatively get the Warthog into the Kill Ball. So the referee will just have to go into the map, get in the Warthog, and press forward on the stick, and it should launch the Warthog somehow into the Kill Ball. And that's that.
And I can sense some Rube Goldberg-like forges coming on. Or I hope so.
I know, I hope so too. I'm excited about that one. That one was pretty fun to think about. And then there is the Halo Shopathon. And that is your typical take a photo and like Photoshop it, or throw it into Paint or Paint.net or whatever you use. And it can be hilarious. It can be cool. It can be whatever you want. And so we were originally going to have you take screenshots in-game yourself, but the web service doesn't seem to be working. So we're going to provide you guys with screenshots, and you can take whatever screenshot you want and Photoshop it. And yeah, that's that one. And the Halo fan art contest. So that is pretty much any, it doesn't have to be Halo 4 related. And it can be any Halo game or any Halo whatever you want. It can be a painting, it can be a drawing, it can be a comic, it can be whatever you want, as long as it's fan art. And all of these, the winners will be featured on Halo Waypoint.
Very cool. Yeah. So if you guys want to get your name out there, this would be one avenue to do so.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So what's some of the judging criteria for the creative bundle stuff?
We don't have a set criteria, like a specific criteria. We're pretty much going to take the coolest thing that we see that we like. So it can be, there is bonus points for incorporating breast cancer awareness into it. But it's not a requirement. There's just bonus points for it. But we're basically, it's going to be a panel of Flag referees, so the people that help me with the 2v2 tournament will be helping judge the submissions. So we don't really have like a, you know, most awesome or most funny.
Okay.
It's gonna be whatever makes us happy, I think.
All right. a little ambiguous, but okay.
Maybe we'll narrow it down when it comes to, yeah. We have no idea. We haven't done this before, so.
Oh, okay. So that's why. All right.
Yeah.
So have you thought about getting judges from, like, Halo3 screenshots.net and some of those other screenshot services, and see if they can give you some guidelines for that, or what?
I think so. We've sort of dabbled around it. I think somebody reached out to Pete the Duck for the Forge stuff. And then we'll probably have BS Angel, because she always is a referee anyway. So if she isn't refereeing, she'll probably
And she had her screenshot site too, so.
She, you know, she's an expert in what to a good screenshot and, you know, things like that. So I think we'll be able to get people like that. I haven't actually narrowed anything down except for BS Angel so far. So.
You do know it's a week away, right?
But, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's not that stuff's not hard to do.
Right,
We have everything narrowed down to like top five and we send it off to somebody. That should be fine.
Yeah.
But we, you know, maybe you want to be a guest and help us judge.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Once I get the question asked, I might be able to respond.
Would you like to be a judge on the Halo Creative Bundle?
Sure.
All right.
All right. Hey. Done.
Do a victory dance.
Yay. All right, no, jazz hands.
Oh, jazz hands, yeah.
Sorry, Jess had to. anyways, so what... So there's really only the 2v2 and the Griff Ball. A lot of tournaments, you usually see a 4v4. Is there any reason you're doing a 2v2 over a 4v4?
2v2 is easier to get people to sign up for. 4v4, we had a 4v4 last year, and it went well, but we took a max of, like, I think we took a max of 8 teams only. So with 2v2, we take a max of 64 teams. That's another thing, is we could take a lot more teams for 2v2 because it doesn't take as long as a 4v4, setting it all up and hoping that there's no lagging issues. And so this isn't on System Link, right? This is on live. So it's a little bit more difficult to deal with live issues or dropping or lag and things like that. So it's just a little bit easier. We also have in-game referees. So that adds another player to the game. And so the more players there are, the more issues that we can possibly have. So yeah, 2v2 is just the easiest one.
Okay, fair enough. So Griff Ball, is this the first time you've done Griff Ball for a flag?
Yes.
All right. why Griff Ball? Because I know a lot of people, for Griff Ball is kind of one of those niche game types, more or less. There's if you look at the Halo community as a whole, Griff Ball is probably one of the it's one of the bigger known custom game types, but it's still not a prominent game type. So why Griff Ball out of all these other possible game types out there?
So one thing, I love Griff Ball, and that's a little bit me being biased, but at the same time,
I do too. I'm just asking the question to ask the question.
It makes sense. Really, it's one, because it's really awesome that Griff Ball is in Halo 4, and they don't have a playlist for it yet, so this really gives an opportunity.
No, they do.
Oh, do they?
I think they do. I think it's just part of the you have to have the Halo 4 server working at the moment, which I don't right now. But I think I saw Griff Ball on there.
Okay.
If not, it's I think it's on there.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I just didn't actually look. But anyway,
I could be wrong. I could just be talking crap, but I think it's on there.
Oh, okay. Dave is saying that he looked and it's not there, but maybe whatever, who knows. Anyway, it still gives people an opportunity to play brand new Halo 4 Griff Ball, and that was the point. And we also Halo Griff Ball, it has like a pretty big tournament scene, and so it's already kind of set up tournament style, so it's easy to do something like that. I actually played in one of the first Griff Ball tournaments back in the day, and I had an absolute blast. So, you know, sort of just one of those, it's easy, we can do it. And we reached out to the Griff Ball Hub folks, and they're so awesome. And they were like, they said yes right away. So it was a little work for me to do, and since I don't have to run it, hopefully we can get, a few teams to sign up. So we need more.
Very good. So how many teams do you have currently registered?
2v2, we have half capacity at 35 teams. We can take 64. And Griff Ball, we only have like 5 teams signed up, and we could take a max of 32 teams. So we need more people to sign up for Griff Ball. And like I said, it's really hard to get a team of 4 people to commit to like a whole day of playing games. So
right. So it's how is the tournament ladder play? Is it double elimination or is it just single elimination? What's kind of the tournament style play?
Sure. 2v2 will be double elimination. Games will be best of 3, all Slayer. Previously, we used to do Slayer, Objective Slayer. This year, we're just going to do Slayer. It's a little bit easier and faster.
All right.
And the final match will be best of five. We're probably going to tweak around with the 2v2. We're probably going to tweak around with the final match, depending on what happens with the winner's bracket versus the loser's bracket. But more details will be released next week on the site about that, so everyone will know what's going on. The Griff Ball will be double elimination, and I'm not sure how they run their final match, but I know that their rounds are going to be, I think the games will last about 12 minutes or something like that, 12 to 15 minutes each.
Okay.
And they're going to we'll submit rules for that as well next week on the site.
All right. For the 2v2 tournament, there's a lot of the maps in there that are pretty big for 2v2 gameplay. So is there going to be mostly Forge maps and then mostly small maps like Haven and Adrift? What kind of maps are we going to see for the 2v2 tournament?
We're going to try and do the smallest maps possible. We went in over the weekend and started, you know, poking around and seeing what we could do. So we're definitely going to have, we don't want to have too big of maps. We want to get a hold of that MLG map that they forged. I think they use like part of one of the bigger maps. I can't remember which one it was.
Oh no, that's a built-in one on Impact.
Is it?
That's actually, yeah, that's disk supplied.
Okay. All right, so that's all they did. All right, that's perfect. So it's kind of difficult to figure all this stuff out when the game's only out for like a few days. But yeah, so I forget which maps. Do we have a list of maps yet, sir? Maybe we can get that in a little bit.
So there's the 10 built-in ones, and then there's that one Forge one.
Oh, I've been scratch piece of paper. looks like we have Abandon and Haven, Impact / Relay, and Solace so far.
Okay, so pretty much most of the ones that were used in MLG.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was one that they used on MLG that was their CTF map, and that one was a little bit too big. I can't remember the name of it.
Solace?
Is that Solace?
Solace was a pretty big one. Adrift is the one with the mech in the middle.
The one with the... Yeah, okay. Man,
The orangish map.
Yeah.
All
one
right.
of them too big, I think, for 2v4. Four
okay. So, it's kind of short notice to really do a Forge map, but there's been good Forges from like Halo Reach that you could do for like 2v2, so I was just wondering if there was a possibility of seeing different kind of Forge maps in there.
We would be able to, but I'm leery about, like, you know, having to test it out, making sure that, so our biggest concern is spawning, because we have refs in game, so if there is a potential for like really bad spawning issues due to the ref being in game, you know, we don't want to deal with that, so we're actually going to test it out beforehand. So our referees sit on a box outside of the map. We get the box as outside as possible, and then they have like a player traits little window there. So when they spawn in there, they're invisible and vulnerable. They can't do damage, all kinds of stuff. And they're really just there to facilitate a few things. Make sure that people don't drop, and if they do, they invite them back in. Make sure that we have like usually like a 2 minute lag deal, where if there's lag within 2 minutes, they can say, one of the teams can say, hey, you know, I want to restart. So we facilitate that as well. And we make sure there's little to no trash talking, at least, you know, there's all this stuff like party chat and now, but you know, we don't want people to start talking trash in the tournament. So we do that as well. So we do want to be in game. So if there's Forge maps, then we'd have to test more of that. So, but it's a possibility still. If we get a map that's really good, then we'll definitely test that out.
Alrighty. Was there anything? Let's see. I think we covered most of the details so far. You have the 2v2 tournament with the maps that we just talked about. The Griffball tournament's new, partnered with Griffball Hub. We've had them on the show plenty of times. They are definitely good at what they do over there with Griffball.
Yeah.
The creative bundle, I'm really interested to see what's going to come out with some of the screenshots, because there's some screenshots out there where I'm like, how the heck do you even do something like that?
Yeah. I know. I can't wait. I hope more people sign up for that. We need more people sign up.
Yeah. And I think they have the filters in there, so I think that's still going to be used. The dynamic lighting, I'm interested to see how that's going to really play into some of this too, because we really didn't have that with Halo 3 or Halo Reach, and that's something new in Halo 4.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I don't know, you might see a few screenshots where it's just a casted shadow on something.
Yeah.
That might be cool. I don't know. God. This is pretty interesting stuff, guys. I think I'm going to enter in with someone. I'm not exactly sure who yet for the 2v2.
Nice.
Maybe Griffball as well. Not sure yet. I haven't looked that far into my weekend yet. But as far as tournament winners, is there anything that you're giving out for the winners of each one?
Yeah.
I guess we haven't actually hit that yet, so that's probably an important part.
Yeah.
for people to actually come and participate.
We actually just narrowed down most of the prizes for everything. So basically, the Create a Bundle, I already sort of said, your prize is technically, you know, you get famous. You get your 15 minutes of fame on Halo Waypoint. I think I will also have some other digital things, prizes for those people, but those aren't locked down yet. And so 2v2, first place will get a Halo Forward Unto Dawn poster that is signed by 343. They will also get a controller, Halo 4 controller, signed by 343.
Ooh.
The Griffball winners will each get their own signed Halo 4 controller. And the second place for 2v2, I believe we have controllers for them too, but no posters.
All right.
Yeah.
I think you might have a Griffball plushie for the Griffball ones.
That would be rad. I don't have any Griffball plushies. I don't even have one for myself. I was kind of bummed.
Aww.
That I didn't. Yeah.
Need to get with your people over at Griffball Hub and see if they can get you one through Rooster Teeth.
I know.
Right? Right?
It's sad.
All right. So what's your donation goal for this year?
The goal is $5,000. We usually hit $5,000 every year at least. One year we hit, I think in Halo Reach, we hit $7,000, which was awesome. But we're not trending towards that this year. So if we can get $5,000, that would be awesome.
Very nice. And this all goes to breast and cervical cancer research. So it's for a good cause, people.
Yes. The boobies.
Yes, the boobies. We love the boobies.
Yes.
The birds or the human anatomy part.
Yeah. Yeah, just the boobies. It doesn't matter which one.
Exactly. Exactly.
To birds, but we can probably do that here.
Yeah.
Trick everyone into giving money to birds. That'd be rad.
Get all the nature enthusiasts out there.
Oh, I don't want those people in my tournament. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow, we just entered an interesting tangent. Speaking of tangents, Halo 4, it did come out this week. We have not actually had a show since then. Our last show was, Fortnite Dawn episode 5. So if you haven't watched that yet, you are way behind the bandwagon and you should have watched it before, Halo, you even started playing the campaign in Halo 4. If you have even played the campaign yet, I know some friends of mine haven't even played the campaign yet and they've done is just war games, which, I guess there's those kind of people out there, but it's Halo. How do you? There's a big story there.
Yeah, people need to play this campaign because it is fantastic.
And they just did so well. A lot of people had their reserves about the campaign, and I was definitely one of those people. But 343 knocked it out of the park with this. The campaign story for Halo 4, in my opinion, was a lot better than Halo 3. Yep. It almost rivals in comparison to Halo 1. Halo 1 is Halo 1. It's you're not going to be Halo 1. That's just it. But the campaign is very well done. Spartan Ops, it's more for the episodic, the CGI stuff. The playing in there just kind of helps kind of move things along. But as far as Spartan Ops goes, it's interesting so far. I wouldn't say it's just phenomenal yet, but it's definitely something to look into.
Are you playing by yourself or are you playing with other people?
I've been playing with other people. I've played the first three with other people, and I'm still waiting for the Halo servers to come back online so I can play the last two and get the weekly challenge for playing it all in Legendary, but waiting for that to come through. But Spartan Ops, I've really geared towards playing cooperatively, so I'm thinking I'm going to do most of mine cooperatively as well.
Yeah, we played. For the first time, I played in a Microsoft Studios Bug Bash, and I don't think they made us, but for some reason I was playing solo Legendary Spartan Ops. That's not a fun time, not even close.
I wouldn't imagine. So, like, what difficulty were you playing on?
Legendary.
I would do it for the achievement, but other than that.
Yeah, no, it was not okay. I did not do well, and it was not fun. But it's definitely made for co-op. So.
Yeah. You know. Well, one thing about Spartan Ops that I found a little interesting is that there's no, like, you can die over and over again. It's just until you complete the Spartan Ops mission. It's like, I would assume there would almost be some kind of, like, limit on how many respawns you have so you can, like, fail. Like, you can make it bigger or something, but I remember, like, one of them I died maybe 8 or 9 times, and it's like, I wouldn't think I would be able to die that often.
Yeah, I died, I think when I was playing Legendary, I died, like, 36 times, and I'm not used to doing that in Halo, because I'm really good.
Yeah, Spartan Ops, and it's meant to be cooperative.
Yeah, no.
Unfortunately, I think that's kind of what you're going to have to deal with. I'm still trying to figure out which one of the first chapters is the easiest one so I can go in and do it Legendary and get it out done.
That was one I had a huge problem with. But then again, when it's the first time you see something and you don't know what's happening, it's totally different from when you start to figure things out. You're like, oh, okay, I know what I have to do now.
Yeah, so, you know where spawns happen. You know where enemies tend to go. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Once you start to figure that out, then it becomes a lot easier. It's still freaking hard though, because you're doing it solo on a mission that's designed to be cooperative.
Yeah. But I mean, I know that I saw some people on Twitter, like, they were really excited that they had finished it on Legendary. So, you know, there's definitely those people out there that like a challenge.
Yeah. So. I just finished Legendary campaign last night.
Awesome.
Solo.
Nice. I do that. I don't usually do Legendary solo. Except for Halo 3. I actually worked on Halo 3, so I knew that game from front to back. So
yeah. Halo 3's Legendary, in my opinion, was probably one of the easier Legendary Halo games so far.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, it was definitely easier than Halo 2.
Easier than Halo 2, easier than Halo 1. ODST...
I don't remember playing Legendary on ODST, except for co-op. I played...
Halo 3 ODST Legendary wasn't that bad. It's still pretty difficult, but I think Halo 3's Legendary was the easiest by far.
Yeah.
Especially the Cortana level. I heard a lot of people had trouble with it, but it's so easy to speedrun that level.
Yeah, as long as you
there's
know...
There's only one or two choke points. and that's the engine room where you're retrieving Cortana, and then that one room where the skull's in, where the tilt skull is.
Yeah.
It's just those two choke points, really, and that's about it.
I think just people, like, a lot of people just get lost. You're like, where am I going? Like, I don't understand.
Could be that, too.
I had to play that game, I had to play it, like, you know, a couple hundred times before it even came out, because I had to do, I did perf testing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you play the game over and over. 4 players, split screen, yay!
Oh, goodness gracious. you were playing on a somewhat big screen HD, right?
No. It was on a monitor. It was probably 24 or something like that.
Yeah, that's still pretty good.
I guess, yeah.
You're running in HD, though. That's kind of the big thing. It's hard to do a quad on standard definition.
Yeah, when we do perf testing, I mean, usually you want to have a baseline, so it's usually like 720p or something like that. But yeah, pretty funny. I'm sick of that. but only because I had to play it so many times.
Yeah. And then, like, the Halo 3 Warthog run at the end, I've memorized that path so far.
I love the trench run. That is my favorite. So I actually don't get sick of that. I should take that back. I always loved getting to the trench run. That's fun.
Yeah. And then the broadsword run for Halo 4, I am determined to figure out a path where I can just fly through it without dying once.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
I have a feeling I will play it enough to where I will figure that out at some point.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, that campaign is so good. If you guys haven't played the campaign, then you really need to because it is really good.
They did a very good job with it. Then they get to drive a pelican too. That was cool.
Hell yeah.
Great, you didn't get to fly it very long, but you still got to fly it. They introduced so many different game mechanics in there and the storyline, and it was just so well developed.
Yes, it was. I was very surprised too. I was one of those, not a skeptic, but I was like, oh, whatever, it's Halo. I'm one of those weird people who don't really get super into the Halo story. I think mostly because I'm a girl. And I'm not trying to be like sexist or anything. It's one of those like we really have to feel a lot of times we have to feel connected, really connected with the character, to really enjoy or get lost in the story. So I enjoy the campaigns, but the story doesn't usually grab me. And I don't know, maybe it's I'm not sure if it's because I'm a girl, but it's just the way I am. And so, but this one totally sucked in. I'm like, holy crap. I want to play it over and over and over again, and that doesn't usually happen to me. It's usually the gameplay that sucks me in. So this is really cool for me to experience this.
I think it's the focus of how 343 is doing the campaign now with trying to incorporate the kind of the external fiction, kind of pulling that in. That was really nice to see get pulled in. I actually finished reading Cryptum a couple of days before Halo 4 came out, so having some of that knowledge going into the game just made the experience that much richer because I knew who the Didact was. I knew part of his history. I knew kind of what humanity had done in the past and what the history of the Forerunners and humanity was, and it just made the campaign that much more interesting.
That's awesome.
And then with what they did with between Chief and Cortana, just the story that they developed there between those two in this campaign was they nailed it on the head.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of
Especially with
that
the
has.
rampancy too.
I know. I really do think that's part of what sucks someone like me in, is like the sort of like emotional more. It's more emotional, I think. And so there was always a little bit of that in the other games, but it wasn't as much as it is. It's not as apparent as it is now. So I don't know. That's how I feel anyway. I might be
Yeah.
totally wrong.
Well, especially that last scene with Cortana. And we won't go into any spoilers in here,
Spoilers.
but that last scene with Cortana, it's like it just floods you with different emotions going into that scene. There's just so much between Chief and Cortana right there.
And it's so cool that like usually it's difficult for video game to do stuff like that, you know. I can name only a few in my head, you know, like one of them being like, you know, Gears of War when all those hilarious bad things happen. You're like, no, you know, things like that. Let's see what other happens. Like in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, did you play that campaign?
I did.
Is that the one where it's like, you know, you get like shot in the head and then you're like crawling towards a dude at the end and you're like, what the hell's going on here? And you get all excited and then you get to shoot the guy. I don't know, there's all kinds of stuff going on that's emotional in that campaign.
I don't know, I don't get emotionally attached to Call of Duty.
You know, so usually, I mean, usually I wouldn't, but when there's like, I don't know, I feel like Modern Warfare did a pretty good job of sucking me in anyway. I don't even like war campaigns. I hate those things. And I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't really found a deep story value in the Call of Duty campaigns, to be perfectly honest.
I wouldn't say deep story value, but I would say like I get emotional enough to care about what I'm doing in the campaigns.
Yeah.
And usually I don't, especially with war shooters. Like I'm like, whatever, I'm just blowing stuff up at this point, but I don't know. I just remember there's only a few campaigns that stand out for me where I'm like I really get emotionally attached, and I think Gears and Halo.
Okay.
Let's see what else. I don't know. I can't think of
Mass
anyone.
Effect is would be another one I would think.
Mass Effect, for sure. That's a good one.
Those two, Mass Effect and Halo, are pretty much the two big kind of like campaign-driven stories that are really impactful for me. Fallout, kind of. There's not really any kind of emotional stuff in there, but just the story that it portrays. Like I still need to play through it. I have all the DLC for all of it, and I've played Fallout 3 for countless hours before.
So the DLC, so I totally got hooked on Fallout 3, and the DLC, I got all the DLC. I was like, oh my god, I have to play more. You know, I played every single thing that I could possibly play in the main disc. And so when I got all the DLC, it was kind of like I went through these little side, you know, they're like side quests basically.
Yeah.
And I ended them so quickly because, you know, they're not full games, and I didn't feel cheated, but I was like, why am I doing this to myself? it's not really anymore than I need more. I need.
But so much fun.
I know it is super fun, but I'm totally like, why am I doing this? You know, it ends so quickly, and I have no satisfaction.
Fallout is brilliant.
It is. It is so good. Skyrim is another one of those. It's really good.
I haven't had a chance to play. I've played it for like 20 minutes, and that was it.
Yeah, that's not nearly enough time.
No, I know it's not. I just
you're sick, you know, and you're like out for like 2 weeks, and that's, you know, that's when you pick up Skyrim.
Well, it's like now I have a job. I have an 8-to-5 job, so it's like.
Oh yeah, you can't have a job and play Skyrim. You're gonna have to quit.
I can't quit. It's not something I can just like say, okay, I'm done.
To your manager and be like, look, sir, I need to play Skyrim
for a month.
I'm gonna need to leave.
I don't think that would look very kindly on my employment.
It would up your nerd cred. Like your nerd cred would go up like at least 10 points.
it depends on how much that actually counts to like paying rent and like bills and other things.
Dude, you find a sugar mama, okay, and you just, you know, hang out with her for a while, and then you trick her into getting married, and like, I don't know, tell her that you'll give her a baby or something, and then you quit your job and you pay all your bills and you sit by the pool and set up some sort of gaming area next to a pool, make sure it's waterproof, and you sit and play games next to the pool for the rest of your life.
I guess that would be a solution. Probably not my solution, but...
Okay, well, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. It's an option.
Fair enough, I guess. Wow.
I give really good advice.
Yeah, apparently. but the Halo 4 campaign, I know for a lot of you guys, you just focus on multiplayer, but if you have not played it, definitely try it out. Even if it's just on normal, just play through the campaign. It took me 7 hours on Heroic to beat it. So it, for those of you who are good at multiplayer, it'll probably take you about maybe 5.5-6 hours on normal to get through it. And definitely watch the cutscenes. Just don't play through the campaign to play through the campaign. Like, actually sit down, watch the cutscenes, see the story behind everything, because 343 has done a very good job picking off where Bungie left off.
I agree. Put on some headphones, you know, get immersed in it.
Oh, I don't have headphones, just have my desktop speakers, but even well, that.
Man, gotta get some headphones.
I don't have any like Astros or Turtle Beaches or anything.
Oh man, I have like something. I have Tritons.
Or those. I mean, one of those gaming headsets. I don't have any of those.
Legit pro. It's like, you need it. You know what? Get your Astros and your Gunner Optics.
I have Gunners
on, and you play. That's how come no one at MLG had Gunner Optics on? I was kind of disappointed about that.
A couple people did, not that many.
I think I saw like one person with them on. I thought like everyone would have them on. I was very disappointed. I thought that makes you legit pro.
Gunners. I mean, they help most people, but not everyone wears them all the time. Like, for me, whenever I play games, like I rarely wear them, just because I can play just fine without them. Now, definitely after I get done playing a gaming session, then I feel it, but I can go on for like I played Halo 4 for 12 hours straight yesterday. getting up occasionally, go to the bathroom and eat something, but other than that, I played for 12 hours yesterday, and I didn't really feel a strain on my eyes until I went to bed and was like, oh, okay, my eyes burn a little bit. Go look in the mirror. My eyes are a little bit red, so yeah. But it's just kind of one of those afterthought things. It's like, yeah, well, I have those. I probably should have used them, but oh well.
Actually, kind of hurts my eyes more because you have to adjust to it to begin with. So
yeah, it makes my eyes water sometimes because it keeps the moisture in, which actually kind of helps your eyes. But then again, you're not used to it.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing where people are just kind of used to staring at screens all day, which is really not good for your eyes in the first place.
No.
Which is where gunners are supposed to help. But people are so used to it anyways where they don't even really think about it until after the fact. I think that's probably why you don't see many people with gunners. Some people live and die by them.
Yeah. I know some people at work that they wear them all day. I see them go to lunch with their gunners on. I'm like, you guys are crazy. That's too much.
Well, I mean, they have gunners in prescription, too.
Yep. So. So where I work at Xbox headquarters, and we're surrounded, we're called studios, and there are buildings like Studio A, Studio B, Studio C, Studio D. And I'm in Studio C, and in the middle of these, essentially, is this place called the Commons. And the Commons consists of, like, it's mostly a cafeteria. There's, like, all these places to eat. And then there's, like, all the, like, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, or whatever, okay, available for the full-time employees. And then there's also, like, you can get your hair cut. There's a salon. There's a mail place. You can do your mail there. There's a bank.
It's like its own little town.
Yeah, you basically don't have to leave work, and I think that's the idea. It's kind of scary, but there's an eye place, eye care place, and right out, like, there's, like, a case outside of it, like, at the entrance, and it's full of gunners. I'm like, what the hell? Okay. So.
Yeah. All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's just like a self-sustaining city, almost.
It is. Or town. It's weird. Yeah.
Not city, not quite that big.
No, it's not city. It's more like a self-sustaining block.
Okie dokie. But yes, Halo 4 campaign, play it if you haven't. War Games, I'm sure everyone's playing that as well, so I don't think we need to really touch on that too much. The Halo 4 servers, I think, are having issues left and right. It's the first week, so we've had these issues in the past with Halo Reach and Halo 3, so it's not something that you guys should, like, freak out too much over. They will take care of it in time. It's just a matter of just them working out the kinks, and in a week or so, we'll probably get an update that fixes it, and you won't have to worry about it that much after that, or at least hopefully. there has been a couple of issues other than that. I want to touch a few things from this week's bulletin. There's not too many things, but we will be getting back into a regular schedule here next week, guys. Just this week we're kind of taking off since Halo 4 came out, and we wanted to play. We wanted to let you guys play. So, but we will be getting back into our regular schedule, where we'll talk about campaign, board games, Spartan Ops, all that good stuff. First thing though is there's a bug from launching Waypoint from Halo 4. So. I know I've run into this a few times, and I've actually turned my console off and then turned it back on for it to work. But if you try to go to Waypoint from the Halo 4 menu, you might get stuck. What you have to do is delete Halo 4 or hit delete Waypoint from your console and then re-download it, and then it'll work. We are getting a new playlist coming next week. It's going to be SWAT. So it's going to be your typical 60 kills to win. First loadout is DMR Magnum. Second loadout is BR Magnum. Those are the built-in ones. I don't know if this says anything in here about having your custom loadouts in there. I'm not exactly sure how that system works quite yet. Do you have any idea how that works? Because I know if you don't have all the loadouts unlocked, you have a certain set of, like, the default ones that come into play.
I think that's, I'm not sure either, but I have seen the default, like, the last three or whatever.
Okay.
Some, like, AR,
yeah,
pistol. Yeah.
And then some of them have, like, the armor abilities that you haven't quite unlocked yet.
Yeah.
I think, though, if this is anything like some of these other game types, where I think the Flood game type has its own preset where it's those specific ones and you don't have any other custom ones. So I think SWAT's going to be like that, where it's just these two loadouts that you're going to be able to use.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, that makes sense to me as well. SWAT players will have the maps Haven, Adrift, Complex, Abandon, and Solace. You have the Magnum, DR, DM, DMR, BR in there. No grenades, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
No motion tracker. Infinite ammo. So,
weird.
We don't have that situation. Well, I mean, there's been situations in Reach where I've run out of ammo for like a DMR playing SWAT sometimes.
Yeah.
It's rare.
Because you're so good.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but since you mentioned it, I have been known to go clutch in a few times, very, very rarely, but so yeah, there's infinite ammo now for SWAT, so you don't have to worry about going around and picking up ammo off of dead bodies and everything. And that's pretty much everything else. Last week was the big launch, so you're going to see some community footage come out in the next week or so. I was actually fortunate enough to get a reporter package from Waypoint and actually record some stuff from my local GameStop, so you may see some Podtacular footage be put in there at some point. Some other communities also did their stuff, like Damian Lacedamian from The Spartan Life got one. The guys over at Ready Up Live, Green Skull, Minolta 1034, they actually have a YouTube video up right now on their channel where they did some coverage there. And you'll probably see some of that in the Waypoint kind of montage, which I think is what they're going to do. So just keep a lookout for that. Probably in this next week's bulletin, I would assume. Or maybe as a separate post. We'll see. Other than that, the bulletin was very short. Just kind of highlighting some of the things that they did for their launch parties. And then, of course, Halo 4 was out. And I think everyone's been playing that. Quick question. What's the highest Spartan rank that you've personally seen so far?
That I've seen on my friends list? Or I
or
think
just
my,
like in playing general. In general.
I think actually the highest I've seen so far is like a 42. Not very high. Well, not. I'm pretty sure I've heard other people that are like 50 already. So.
Yeah, I've seen 42 as well yesterday. I actually have a friend on my friends list who's a 42. So these people are I'm surprised how fast people are going through these ranks. People are going to be at 130 by the end of the month, depending on how many double EXP codes they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or how many Mountain Dews they buy.
Yeah.
Is that the double EXP codes?
Well, it's weird. So I don't think it took people that... I thought it took people a little bit longer to get 50s in Halo 3. No, or generals, I guess. Let me rephrase that. Generals.
I can't remember. I know that there was a big deal about the first person who hit it. I don't remember how long it was.
And then it took forever to rank up in Reach. The ranking system in here, it's with all the double EXP, people are ranking up pretty fast. And we're going to see probably 50s by the end of today, at least.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure someone on my friends is already 50.
And then, for those of you guys who don't know, the rankings for each of the specializations are the ones that you can do after you hit your 50. They're the same as if you're ranking up from 40 to 50, so it's the same XP allotment. So, we're probably going to see... I'd almost be willing to bet we'll see a 130 before the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, they have their XP cap, too, the daily XP cap, but I don't think... It doesn't look like it's... like that high, so or that low, I should say.
Yeah, we will see, I guess. But some of these people, I'm like, you must be playing Halo 4 nonstop for like 24 hours straight.
Yeah, those are the people.
Because I'm only a 26,
and I'm like I'm an 18, but I haven't been playing that much. I'm actually kind of surprised that I'm so high for not playing that much.
I've just been wrecking it up. I think my KD right now is like 1.3,
1.4. Nice. Oh, and you know, by the way, if people don't know about the, like, they're looking at their stats and stuff, the Halo Waypoint stats are pretty sweet. So if you haven't looked at that yet, you should.
Especially online. I just actually took a look at it for the first time, their online one on the website. It looks pretty nice.
Yeah. It does, and I actually hear that KP was telling me yesterday that the Smart Glass, if you use it with Smart Glass, it actually is even like faster.
I take that back. It just crashed on me.
So he was saying that it's a little bit more stable on the Smart Glass.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
It probably uses Silverlight. So that's funny. It just crashed for me while we were talking about it.
Yeah, sometimes it takes forever to load. But when it is loaded up, it looks great.
Yeah.
And it can do some pretty cool stats, too. So.
Yeah, I'm waiting for their stats API to come out. So, like, rumor has it, unofficially, that they'll have a stats API available sometime early next year. I'm not going to say who said that because it's not technically official news, but some official person did say that. And I'll just leave it at that. But I think a lot of communities will probably hop on getting that integrated as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I have this question in the back of my mind where some of the stuff that they plan on implementing, like campaign theater and the stats API, mm-hmm. It's like how much of an impact does that really make on the community being released like 3 or 4 months after the game has been out? Because you would think some of those stuff you would want people to kind of be really interested in and be like, oh, this is cool. I want to use this and have people actually use it when it comes out. Where if you have that kind of time lapse between when the game is released and then when a feature gets implemented, you're not going to have as much attention drawn to it as you would if it got released day one.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I've been shipping games since... I've been testing games for 5 years, so I've dealt with stuff like this a lot. And I'm on the testing side, so I'm the one who's like, "What the hell? You know, people are gonna want this." And it really all has to do with scope. If they can't do it, they just can't do it. Doesn't mean they don't want to; they just don't have time. So, but it's interesting what they have to prioritize. Like, you know, you never really know what they have to prioritize, you know, over something like that. So, it is interesting. But a lot of times there's a deadline and. When people realize that they can't make that deadline, they have to do drastic measures.
Yeah, they have to cut it.
Yeah.
Someone was saying something that how they kind of wrote Halo 4 leaves it a little bit more open for them to implement stuff. So we may get some new tidbits that we can't even really think of coming to Halo 4 somewhere down the road.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And within 6 months' time, we're actually going to have 3 different map packs out there. So It is going to be something where they're releasing content.
Yeah, it's sustainable. It's got to be sustainable.
And then we'll probably have a Spartan Ops Season 2, likely.
Oh, that would be rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know David Ellis is always talking about how he's writing new Spartan Ops stuff. Exciting.
So, I mean, they had this one as Season 1, so Season 2 is definitely going to come along. And they've said publicly that depending on the kind of feedback that they get from Spartan Ops, they may do it for maybe 1 or 2 more seasons, or maybe they'll be able to do it for a little bit longer. But it, from what it sounds like, they are actively working on the Season 2, producing it. Not necessarily a Season 3 yet, but it's definitely something that they've been working on. So for all you cooperative people out there and kind of story-driven people, that you'll have that to look forward to kind of continue Halo 4. Other than that, I think that's pretty much it for this episode. I want to thank the Don Juan for coming on, telling us a little bit about Flag, and I hope you guys are interested in it. Well, go over there and sign up. Again, it's $10 per person, depending on what event you're doing. So it's $20 per team for the 2v2, $40 for the Griffball team, and then $10 for the creative contest.
Mm-hmm.
You can find them at their website, which is flagtournament.com. And you can go over there, and that's where you would register. What is the registration deadlines?
Thursday the 15th, I believe. Usually at midnight is when we cut it off. PST, Pacific time.
So is that midnight Thursday or midnight Friday?
So it'd be...
Because midnight's the first minute of the day.
Going into Friday.
Okay. Just clarifying that
you have all day Thursday to register.
All right. So it ends on, the registration ends on Thursday.
Correct.
Okay. Because, midnight is technically the first minute of the day. I think people kind of get that confused.
Yeah, that's true. The creative bundle submissions will be due on 11:59 PST on Saturday. So going into Sunday. Because we'll be judging them on Sunday.
All right.
Yeah.
And You can also donate if you don't necessarily want to participate, but you can donate to the cause as well.
Yes. Please do it.
So, help save the boobies.
Yeah.
And was there anything else that you wanted to mention before we close this up?
No, that's it. Thank you so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure, and I love Podtacular. It's great.
Well, I think we've been a good supporter of Flag in the past. Last year we kind of helped promote it. A couple of years before that, I think we were kind of at a lull. I was just still trying to get my feet on the ground for Podtacular. But you guys have been doing a good job over there. You've been, this would be your seventh?
Yep.
Yeah. So 7 years going on annually. You guys are doing good work over there, and I hope you guys at least check out their website. Even if you're not thinking about participating, at least go over there, see what they're doing, and do consider donating, because it is going to breast cancer awareness and research. So it's for a good cause.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode. Thank you guys for listening in. Thank you to Don Juan again for coming on. As always, you can find us at our website, www.podtacular.com. And while you're there, check out our forums. We will be resuming Monday Night Matchmaking, not this Monday, the 12th, but the following Monday on the 19th of November. Still trying to go through some stuff for Halo 4 for me, just trying to wrap up achievements and campaigns, and I'm looking to put some videos out for you guys this week, so you guys can still go on and play Halo. It's not like that you have to participate in Monday Night Matchmaking, but we... And this kind of gives us time for the Halo 4 server kinks to be ironed out as well. So we will be resuming it on the 19th of November. We are still looking at the same time at 8:30 p.m. on Mondays. If the times change, we will let you guys know. Also, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And as always, keep on fragging those trucks.